Welcome to C.B. Weiss Bass Majors Program. Shirin, specially designed for Zmanello. It's a bit tremendous bliss to have Ramon Shitsky-Weinberg to give Shirin to us. And I implore everybody who's in attendance today to approach the Rav to ask him to continue Shirin throughout the year, as I have myself. But he will only acquiesce if everybody after Shir asks him the same thing. But in all seriousness, his influence in our shul and our community is well known, not only here but throughout the various areas. And it's a tremendous plus to have him give us Shir. Bekovod gadol, Ramon Shitsky-Weinberg.
It's hard to say no to you, Henry. It's a win-win, I hope. Okay, on that note, I want to, since this is the end of our mini-series on Shari Tshuva from Rabbeinu Yonah, whether we'll continue in other capacities, I guess, has yet to be determined, but I would like to thank Henry, and I would like to thank the entire Kehila, and Rabbi Przanski, and the many people who allowed this series of shirim to get off the ground. And in Ritz Hashem, if people are interested and there's what to continue, maybe we'll find a way to continue together. So we've come to the final shar. Rabbeinu Yonah's Shari Tshuva is made up of four gates. And we spent the last 3 weeks, each week discussing a theme in one of the various shar. And now we come to the fourth and final gate, which is the smallest of the gates. 22 simanim in all. Chaf Beis simanim. 22 paragraphs. And you see that Rabbeinu Yonah, in the first of the sources, introduces this gate, Shar Revi'i Chilukei HaKapara. Chilukei HaKapara means the divisions of atonement, which means that if I do a particular Avera, there has to be a particular Tshuva. Now in the third gate, we spent a little time last week, or we mentioned last week, that Rabbeinu Yonah spends a lot of time talking about, if you do X, this is the Avera, this is the nature of the Avera, or this is the mitzvah, this is the nature of the mitzvah, these are the punishments that come with it. But when it comes to the mitzvah of tshuva, what it takes, so to speak, to get atonement for a particular injustice, that's what's known as the chilukei kapara, the various divisions of atonement. And he primarily bases himself off of a gemara, a famous gemara in Maseches Yoma, that describes what's known as the dalid chilukei kapara. That means when you do an avera, it generally falls into one of four categories, and there's a process by which a person gains kapara. Depending on the severity of the Isser, it'll be either more difficult or less difficult to attain a tshuva shlema. It's based on a Gemara in Yoma, Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Yoma, source number 2, writes as follows. Shaul Rav Masya ben Charash es Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Biromi. Rabbi Masya ben Charash once approached Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in Rome, and he asked him, he says, Shomata arbe chalukei kabara, Shai Rabbi Yishmael Dorish, have you heard about the four categories of atonement that Rabbi Yishmael would speak of? So he replied, well, Amar Shloshahein, really there are only three, V'tshuvim kol echad v'echad. And each one has its own process of tshuva. Over alasei v'shav, if a person was over on a mitzvah asay and did tshuva, you had a positive commandment to perform, and you failed to do so. And you did tshuva over the fact that I missed out on a mitzvah. Eino zaz misham ad shemochlin lo. He doesn't leave that place until he already has mechila. Which means it's very easy for a person to correct it. You had a positive opportunity, you didn't take advantage of it, that itself is a shortcoming. You do tshuva, and that's it. You walk away from that place with complete mechila. Shuvu banim shovav. Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Over al losa say, let's say you violated a negative command. V'asa tshuva, now you did tshuva. Tshuva tole. Tshuva gets it to a certain point that it's hanging in the balance, so to speak. V'yom Kippur mechaper, and Yom Kippur seals the deal. Tshuva gets you most of the way, but you need Yom Kippur to do that final bit of cleansing. Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem mikol chatosecha, even the negative things that we've done. Avar al krisos umisos basin. Let's say a person did a more egregious offense. He violated something that comes with a penalty of kares or misas basin. V'asa tshuva, he did tshuva. Tshuva v'yom kippurim tolin. Tshuva begins the process. Yom Kippur furthers the process, but it's only tolin. It's still hanging in the balance. What does it take for a person who is chayav kares? You can do tshuva. People don't realize that sometimes. People think if a person is chayav kares, so now I'm cut off, and that's it. So now I'm out. You can do tshuva for karis. The person who ate chametz on Pesach, you can do tshuva for that. It's a difficult tshuva process. You need tshuva. You need Yom Kippur. And what do you need to complete the cleansing? The yisur and mamarkin. You need yisur and you need suffering, difficulty, in order to cleanse a person. Now again, yisurim comes in many sizes and forms. The Gemara says that sometimes yisurim could be even if a person sticks their hand in their pocket and they were trying to take out a dollar bill and they were trying to take out a quarter and they took out a penny and they have to put their hand back into their pocket a second time. Right? That's terrible yisurim. But Hashem counts that. They say Rav Chanan Wasserman said that that's the pshat in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Right? When we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chishev HaSaketz, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calculated the end, but it also could be understood Hashem calculated the extreme position. Meaning what? That means every bit of Jewish suffering in Mitzrayim was counted. How did we get out after only 210 years? Well, the Mitzrayim were particularly evil and particularly brutal in their treatment of the Jewish people. But Hashem was Chishev HaSaketz, means that Hashem considered the extreme position. Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to count all these little ridiculous things that are not really such Yisurim. But the Gemara says that's also called Yisurim. Any little frustration that a Jew has, Hashem took that into consideration in advancing the process of redemption. And we hope that Hashem will continue to do that. He'll take our little pains into account. So, God forbid, we shouldn't have to know for bigger things. And then last but not least, the fourth category. Aval mi sheyesh chil Hashem. Three lines from the end of source 2 where it's bolded. A person has chil Hashem. The most serious offense of all. More than the category of karis and misas beistin. A person who has chil Hashem biyado, ein lo koch betshuva litlos. Tshuva is not enough to even get it hanging in the balance. Yom Kippur is not enough to be mechaper. Yisurim are not enough. Lemarik to cleanse him. Elakulan tolin. A person who's violated and has created a chil Hashem. You see what that means? All of those things work to get him to a point of tolin. He has to do tshuva, he needs Yom Kippur, he has to suffer, and he still doesn't have a complete kapar until what? Umisa memarekes. Until the person leaves this world, and with his death, he can get that final bit of cleansing. What's so terrifying about Chil Hashem is that the Gemara goes on over there in source number 3, Yom HaPei Vav Amid Aleph, to give examples of Chil Hashem. Now, I understand that the people who we're speaking about in source number 3, in the continuation of the Gemara, are very holy rabbis, they're very great people. We'll see that Chil Hashem obviously depends on certain standards. And the more that a person is perceived to be an elevated person, the more there's an expectation that the person carry himself or herself in an elevated fashion. But the examples of what's considered a Chil Hashem should make us tremble a little bit. It's not that hard to accidentally end up in a case of Chil Hashem. And as we'll see, an accident in Chil Hashem doesn't really come with too much leeway. Yes?
He
had Yisurim. Right. And everyone's going to die eventually, so he'll get that final bit of cleansing. It's a good question. As far as the nafka mina in his process, I'm not sure. But I think what the Gemara is trying to highlight here is showing you just how severe this penalty, this severe is. Eventually there can be, eventually a person dies and a person will receive that kapara. But there's really nothing you can do, is what the Gemara seems to be saying, as far as in your lifetime, there's really nothing you could do to right the wrong. And that's a terrifying thought. And look at the examples when the Gemara goes on in source 3. Hechi dami chil Hashem. What's the definition of chil Hashem? What's an example of chil Hashem? So again, some of the greatest of the Tanayim and the Amoraim shared their personal experiences. What they thought for themselves would be considered a chil Hashem. Amar Rav, kigon ana, if you want to know what I would consider a chil Hashem, for myself, Rav, Isha kilna bisra mitivcha mitavcha v'lo yahivna dami la'altar. If I take meat from the butcher and I don't pay right away, that's a chil Hashem. People are going to say, Rav doesn't pay up front. That's not right. It's really not right. He's not sensitive to the needs of the butcher. And even if the butcher is generous and he lends him on credit, he allows him to keep a tab for Rav to keep a tab by the butcher. It's not proper. Yeah.
By
Chil Hashem,
it's interesting, but they also start off with Avar Av, but by Chil Hashem,
it's about
Mishi Yesh Chil Hashem.
The other, right.
It's not like somebody did it.
Right, he's in a state of Chil Hashem.
Right.
It could be that that's what it's saying, and we'll see, that there might be some truth to that. It's also perhaps saying that the way to be over Chil Hashem may not be with you intentionally doing. I mean, when a person is over an Avera, there was a choice that was made. He had a mitzvah saseh to do and he chose not to perform it. He had a mitzvah lo saseh in front of him and he chose to violate it. Right? Whether, again, he gave into a yetzer hara, whatever it was, he was being lazy and chose not to do it. Chil Hashem, we're going to see, can come about in a very indirect fashion. And therefore, a person has to be so guarded to be concerned about what someone else might think about you. Meaning, Rav is standing in the butcher shop. He has a good relationship with this butcher. And the butcher is happy to lend him and send him a bill at a later time. And Rav says, but people are going to look at me and they say, but that's how Rav does his business. He doesn't pay up front. That's a Chil Hashem. The Gemara goes on. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Kigon Ana Demasgina Arba Amos Belo Torah Velo Tefillin. Rabbi Yochanan was a person, again, of such great esteem that if he were to walk Dalet Amos not wearing tefillin, or he'd walk a number of steps without reciting words of Torah, that was a Chil Hashem. Rabbi Yochanan, you walk down the street and you're just not thinking about anything, you're not reciting Mishnayos Baal Peh, Chil Hashem. Very high level. Yitzchak Debei Rabbi Yanei Amar, Kol Shechaveirav Misbaishin Machmas Shvuosa. Again, perhaps talking in rabbinic circles, but if the Chaveirav of this individual are embarrassed of his reputation, that if this person, his reputation has been sully, people are writing not nice things about him in the newspapers, that's a Chil Hashem. Abaye Amar, Kidetanya Vahaftas Hashem Elokecha, Sheishem Shemayim Mishayv Al Yadecha. And this might be speaking to every Jew, says Abaye. The Avtoas Hashem Elokecha demands that not only do I love Hashem, but I make Hashem beloved in the eyes of others. That means that people look at me in the way that I carry myself, and they say, wow, that person can be a role model for me. This person is a studious individual, has respect for the sages. His business dealings are done with yashrus, with righteousness, with honesty. And what do people say about such an individual? Ashrei aviv shalomdo Torah, praiseworthy are his father or his parents, they educated him the right way. Ashrei rabo shalomdo Torah, shkoyach to his rebbeim for setting him on the proper path. Oylem lebrios shalomdo Torah, we feel bad for those people who are not zocha to learn Torah. Ploni shalomdo Torah, look at this Jew, he learned Torah, and look what a fine person he is. Ro kamenam derachav kamen mitukonim maasav. So that's the ideal, it's Kiddush Hashem. But you can have a person who studies a lot of Torah, is Meshamish Tamidei Chachamim, had respect for his rebbeim, spent years in yeshiva, and yet the person is not sensitive to sort of the interactions made other lechavero. Ve'ein masao matno be'amuna. His business dealings are not with the sense of amuna of a person who spent years in yeshiva studying Torah. Ve'ein b'diburo b'nachasim abrios. And he's a coarse person in the way that he speaks. Ma abrios omros alav. What are people going to say about such a person? Oylo leploni shalom Torah. Look at this person. It's like the Gemara says, Torah could be asam hachayim, the elixir of life, or it could be asam hamisa. Torah, a person who learns Torah can make him a worse person. Because people look at this individual and say, you learn Torah and this is how you act? It's a tremendous Chil Hashem. And it's a violation of the very basic principle that we're makabel upon ourselves. Kabbalah is all malchus Shemayim, is part of Shema every day. That you should not only love Hashem, but you should make Hashem beloved. That people should be able to look at everything that you do and see, this is a person who has godliness in his life. And this person and their understanding of the Jewish God and the way that they interact with the Jewish God is impressive. It's something that I'm attached to, I'm attracted to. And it's not, God forbid, the opposite. But again, what you see from this Gemara is you have to be so sensitive to how other people might perceive your behavior. You might be in the right. But if someone's going to misunderstand the way that you're acting, you're going to be held accountable for the Chil Hashem. And if someone's going to look at you, you may have nothing to do with them. Never interacted with them directly. But they look at you and say, wow, that person clearly has been impacted positively by Torah. So that person's going to get credit for Kiddush Hashem. And again, it's something that takes place without his own certain mindfulness. It doesn't really matter what his intentions are, what his kavana is. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us very clearly in source number 4. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Kol machal el shem shemayim b'seser. A person thinks my Chil Hashem is done in private, and it doesn't really matter, no one's going to know about it. Nifrad mimenu b'galoy. He will be taken to task in public. You're eventually going to get caught. It's going to come out in public. Concludes the Mishnah, Echad shogeg, ve'echad mezid b'chil Hashem. Now that's a very high standard that we don't usually find in most areas of halacha. That shogeg and mazid are treated as equals. That an accident and willful intent are treated exactly the same. Echad shogeg, echad mazid. I don't care if it was an accident. I don't care if you did it on purpose. Either you made a chil Hashem, it's a chil Hashem. And it's almost impossible, according to what we saw earlier, to cleanse that aveira. But that wasn't my intention. But if someone understood it in a certain way, if the result was that people had a certain, again, understanding of X, Y, or Z because of your actions, regardless of what your intention was, you are held fully accountable. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, they put out, there was an older edition of it, and a smaller edition, they put out his writings on Pirkei Avos. More recently, I think about a year ago, they put out a lengthier edition of Rav Yaakov's writings on Pirkei Avos. The Emes Liakov on Pirkei Avos. And he says, he harps on this Mishnah, he says, think about what this Mishnah is telling us. That normally, when a person performs a mitzvah, we're interested both in the intention, the kavana of that individual, and we're interested in what the pu'ula is, what emerges from his behavior. By Chil Hashem, I don't care what you're thinking. All I care is what type of result does it cause. Are people impressed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah because of it? Or are people turned off because of it? Are people proud and look in a glorified fashion on Hashem and the Jewish people? Or do people look at our people with disgust because of the pu'ula, of what emerged from, again, this person's behavior? Says Rav Yaakov in source number 5, HaKavana b'zeh, shebechil Hashem, v'kol shekein b'kiddush Hashem, mida tova meruba, always for the positive, the better. But whether it's a chil Hashem or a kiddush Hashem, ein ha'ikar ha'maisu pu'ula samitzvah, ela ha'ikar hu ha'tachlis v'anifa. It doesn't really matter how you were doing the mitzvah, what your intention was, how you wanted it to be. Lamaisa, what happened? What happened when you acted a certain way? V'hainu shi'iskadi shemo ba'olam, o shelo yischal shemo ba'olam. V'lachein, ein hevdel im ha'pu'ula nasa b'shogeg o mezid. I don't really care what the circumstances were, how this, the context of how this played out. All I care is what emerged from it. And if a chil Hashem emerged from it, I don't care if you want to claim it was shogeg, you're going to be held fully accountable. Ela kol she'atotzah me'apu'ula, he kiddush Hashem, harei hu nischar. If you indirectly cause kiddush Hashem, you may never know about it. You may get to Shemayim after 120 years, and Hashem says, "I want to let you know you have some tremendous merits in your bank account." And you say, "What? I don't know what you're talking about, Rabbanu Sholem." Hashem says, "Well, you did something once, and someone was looking at you, and that created what I would consider a kiddush Hashem, and I'm going to reward you for that." Or the reverse. Chas v'shalom, a person who thought they were carrying themselves in a appropriate fashion, but someone misunderstood their behavior, and it led to a chil Hashem, and the Rabbanu Shalom takes you to task. He's like, Rabbanu Shalom, shogeg? Onus, right? I'm exempt here. And Hashem says, that's not how it works with chil Hashem. With chil Hashem, whatever happens, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the case. V'chol, the last line, V'chol ha'totza me'apu'ula hi chil Hashem, harei hu nanash. There's no beating the system. You can't claim it was an accident. Why is that so? Why should that be? There's a pasuk in Yeshaya which really describes the tachlis of Bria Sa'olam. Why did Hashem create the world? What's sort of the overarching theme of Hashem's creation of the world? Now it sounds, and it's a silly thing to say, it sounds like Hashem is very self-centered in this, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be the Melech. That's what we're thinking about during these days. We're all trying to figure out, how can I try to crown Hashem over the entire Bria? So what does Hashem want in creating the world? What was the intention of Hashem in creating the world? Says the Navi Yeshaya, Kol ha'nikra b'shmi, v'lichvodi b'rasiv, I created the world. Everything I created was for my kavod, was for my honor. That's the goal, to bring kavod shemayim in everything that we do. Not, God forbid, to cause a void of God's presence in this world. Everything Hashem did, l'chvodi b'rasiv, yitzartiv af asisiv. Hashem says, I began the creation, and I furthered the creation, and I completed the creation with the goal of bringing kavod to myself. I'm the Melech. I want kavod. I want honor. There was a Talmud of Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was one of the great Torah personalities of Yerushalayim, of the previous door. He had a Talmud, Rav Yitzchak David Gutfarg. And he offered the following mashal to explain why there's no leeway when it comes to Chil Hashem. He says, imagine the following scenario. A person's anticipating the arrival of a package. He gets news that a certain package that's being shipped from overseas is very excited to receive this package. And he hires a shliach to go and pick up the package to bring it back for him. Okay, so the shliach goes down to the port, right? This package is arriving by boat. The boat pulls up. The shliach is standing there. He's ready to carry out the shlichus. And he sees it's taking some time. You have to unload the packages. You have to go through customs. It's going to be a while till the package is actually available for him to pick up. And he figures, you know, while I'm here anyways, I have a relative in the neighborhood. I might as well go visit a little bit. And he abandons his port. He abandons his shlichus. He goes and he visits his relative, more or less forgetting the entire reason why he was in that particular town at that time. And he comes back that night, he comes back to the person who had sent him, and he says, I'm embarrassed to admit, but I totally forgot about the package. So the person says to him, you forgot about the package? He says, yeah, but it was an accident. It was an accident, I got caught up in something. So he says, no, you can't come now with an excuse and say that was an accident. You can't tell me that something like went a little bit wrong here. You had a job. The job was deliver the package. Bring me the package. An accident would be that you picked up the package and you were a little slow in bringing it back. An accident would be you picked up the package and on the way back you dropped the package and some of the things inside, some of the contents were slightly damaged. Forgetting to bring back the package is not, that's not like, oops, I made a little mistake. You undermine the entire shlichus. You abandon your post. So says this Rav Yitzchak David Gutfarb. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to a person who makes a Chil HaShem, you've undermined the entire universe. I created the world lichvodi. That's the punchline of everything that's supposed to happen in this world. So if you make a Chil HaShem, you undermine Kvod Shemayim, so you can't say, oops, it was a little mistake. This is what it's all about. And therefore, says the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Echad Shogeg, Echad Mezid, B'Chil HaShem. That everything that's created in the world, lichvodi barasiv, that's why everything is here. To bring Kvod Shemayim. And there's no excuse that's going to be accepted. It's a very unique area of Jewish thought. And again, it goes back to what we saw in Yom HaDaf Pei Vav. In the Dalet Chilukei Kapar. It's not so easy to undo a Chil HaShem. And therefore a person has to be thinking many steps ahead. Not only what's happening right now, but what might someone see? Or what might someone who saw tell someone else? And you make yourself meshuga. Right? But it's worth it to be thinking ahead because, again, we're dealing with a very, very heavy category of a mitzvah and averos. Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. Yes?
So is there no way to reverse it? Like
so that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is going to introduce us to tonight. He's going to give us two eitzas as we conclude our studies in Shari Tshuva. He's going to give us two ways to actually undo the damage. Because according to the Gemara, it sounds like you're going to have to just wait it out till a person leaves this world. There's really nothing you can proactively do to correct the wrong. But again, a person has to be thinking ahead. And Rabbeinu Yonah is going to give us some advice. But sometimes, you know, sometimes it's just, I was in Walgreens the other day. I was buying a birthday card for my wife. And the woman behind the register said, would you like to give $1 for diabetes? Now, I hadn't even really prepared the shir yet, so I wasn't like in super Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem mode, right, which would have made it even easier to give the dollar. But I paused for a second and I said, I'm identifiably a Jewish person. I'm wearing a yarmulke on my head. Right? This person is asking me, do you want to give $1 to help people who are going through a difficult illness? I personally went through a difficult illness, all the more so. But she doesn't know that, but all the more so it should resonate with me. And I thought to myself, for a dollar, how could I not go for it? The potential for a Kiddush Hashem is certainly worth $1. The damage of a Chil Hashem is certainly worth $1. So I said, yeah. Now, you know, do I always give $1 when they ask you at the register? Do you want to give $1 for this cause or for that cause? But maybe we should. Maybe we should. Because again, regardless of you know, I could have very politely said, oh, no, you know, no thank you. And I'm sure she would have not thought I was the worst person. But if God forbid she's going to have even a slightly bad perception of a Jew, even if it's shogeg, even if I'm innocent, so I'm going to be held accountable. And therefore it was worth $1 at all costs to risk, you know, to avoid the Chil Hashem and to take a shot at maybe getting the Kiddush Hashem. The Rambam writes in the Yesod HaTorah in source number 7, look at the level of care and sensitivity. Look at the way the Rambam describes the added level of sensitivity that a Jew needs to have when it comes to these matters. Yesh Dvarim Acherim Shehin Bechlal Chil Hashem. The Rambam in the 5th parak of Yesod HaTorah is talking about Kiddush Hashem in the form of giving one's life al Kiddush Hashem. But he also touches on Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem as we're using it tonight. Again, the examples of the Gemara, the Rambam is noticing that with Rav, with Rabbi Yochanan, the greatest of Jews, who are people, again, of a very recognizable character, the way that their behavior is going to be perceived by the masses will be potentially a Chil Hashem or a Kiddush Hashem. That the things that they do, that people are going to be talking This is what Rav does. This is what Rav Yochanan does. Now look at the words of the Rambam. The afal pi she'ein on averos. Even though it's not really on the books as a mitzvah or avera per se, but it doesn't really matter if it's on the books. It just really matters what the perception is going to be. Harei zeh chilul es Hashem. If people are going to look at you, and if people are going to get a certain impression, so that's a chilul Hashem. It's not an avera in a classic sense. And yet, look at the sensitivity a Jew has to have. So we're all going to exempt ourselves. We're going to say, okay, but the Rambam said, an adam gadol b'torah u'mefursim b'chasidus. So I'm not an adam gadol b'torah u'mefursim b'chasidus. So I don't have to be worried about these things. So I'll show you a remarkable statement that the Chafetz Chaim said to his students. And I think it's so true about any Jew who carries himself or herself as an Orthodox Jew. If a person is identifiably Jewish, right, and a Jew is very easy to spot usually in the crowd, the Chafetz Chaim said the following. And I think it moves us all into the category of an adam gadol b'torah u'mefursim b'chasidus. Even if by normative standards we wouldn't say that we exactly fit into that category. But the Chafetz Chaim said once the following to his students. It's quoted by Rav Nassim Gestetner, who was a great, remarkable Talmud Chacham, who I had the chus to meet one time in Bnei Brak. He passed away a number of years ago. He wrote, I think, 17 volumes of Shalos and Tshuvos. He wrote on all areas of Shas. There's a volume of Pirkei Avos called Lahoros Nassim. And he writes in the Psicha, in source number 8, he says that one time, he said, I heard about the Chafetz Chaim, Shepam achas hochiach letalmidav, sheyu midoseim mitukanos, that the Chafetz Chaim said to his students, you better make sure that your midos are so refined. Because im lo kein yomru, people are going to say shetalmidei chachamim ein maaseh mehugan. They're going to look at you. And the Chafetz Chaim was speaking to the young men of his yeshiva. He said, if you don't carry yourself with the finest standards of midos of ethical behavior, people are going to say talmidei chachamim are not nice people. Talmidei chachamim don't know how to behave in a sensitive fashion. So one of the talmidim said to his rabbi, the Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi, it's very nice that you think that people are going to talk about it, but we're not such, we're Bnei Yeshiva. We're not Talmidei Chachamim. Look what the Chafetz Chaim said. It's such a sharp insight and it's so true. V'ana lo Chafetz Chaim, afim ein atem Talmidei Chachamim l'shar inyanim. You may not be a Talmud Chacham to be able to answer, shailas in all areas of halacha. You may not have a mastery over shas. You may not be a Talmud Chacham in a classic sense, the way a Talmud Chacham would be defined in many areas of definition of a Talmud Chacham. About atem kvar begeder Talmidei Chachamim, you are enough of a Talmud Chacham that an Am Haaretz in the street who sees you carrying yourself in an unrefined fashion is going to say, look how from Jews act. That much of a Talmud Chacham you are. And I think it's very true. I think anyone who's identifiably Jewish in the world today has to be exceptionally sensitive. Because the world is looking at the Jewish people. The world wants to see how do Jews respond to important events taking place in the world. The world is watching. And the slightest bit, a person who might not think, I'm not Rabbi Yochanan, I'm not Rav. My every move is not being watched. It's a terrible mistake to think that way. The world is very much watching our every move. And the world is paying tremendous attention to everything that we're doing. So I don't think we can exempt ourselves from the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, where he says that this is only really for a person who's an Adam Gadol B'Torah, who Meforsim B'Chasidus. I think we all fall into that category. Right? Albeit in somewhat of a misused definition. Right? But I think somehow we all land in that category today. A second way we might want to exempt ourselves is by saying, that's nice that the Rambam brought this, but the Shulchan Aruch didn't quote any of these things. Which is in fact a very interesting question. This week was the yard site of the Chafetz Chaim. It was also the yard site of Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky. They share the same yard site, Chaf Dalet El. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky actually asked this question. There's a volume called the Milu'ei Shlomo, where Shlomo Lawrence, who was a famous Torah personality, was very much connected to Gedolim. We have many of his writings of stories and interactions he had with some of the great Gedolim of the previous generation. And he has a volume called the Milu'ei Shlomo. So in that volume on page 79, he says, Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky once raised this question. Why don't you find Hilchos Chil Hashem in the Shulchan Aruch? Why don't you find Hilchos Kiddush Hashem in the Shulchan Aruch? Right? It seems from the Gemara, Yom Adaf Pevav, that we have some real practical examples, taking meat from the marketplace and not paying in advance, paying on time. Right? For someone, maybe walking Dalet Amos without Torah or Tefillin. And Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky gave, again, a very rational answer. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky said, you can't codify Chil Hashem in the Shulchan Aruch Because again, the definition of Chilul Hashem is going to shift, is going to change in accordance with the standards of society, how people perceive things. So if you live in a place where the nations of the world are paying close attention to the Jewish people, so then yeah, then everyone becomes a Talmud Chacham in that moment. And if you live in a society where it's absolutely normal to take things on ledger, on credit at the supermarket, then that's not a Chilul Hashem. And therefore, says Rav Yechezkel Abramsky, we always have to be asking ourselves, based on our society, based on our spiritual standing within the community at large, right? Based on our relationship with the nations of the world, is the action that I'm engaged in going to be perceived as a Chilul Hashem? It's not something that we can so simply codify in the Shulchan Aruch and say X, Y, or Z is a Chilul Hashem. It's constantly changing, it's constantly being adjusted. So now we have to come back really to the question that Henry raised that's bothering all of us, which is, so is there anything that we can do? Right now we're stuck. The Gemara told us we're stuck. A person with tshuva and Yom Kippur and Yisurim, you still can't erase Chilul Hashem. Is there anything that we can do? When again, the stakes are so high with regard to Chilul Hashem, is there anything that we can do to begin in our lifetime to cleanse ourselves of something that again is so egregious and is so horrible in the eyes of the Rabbona Shalom that it undermines the whole tachlis of the Bria? That I created the world for Kvod Shemayim, and a Jew caused a Chilul Hashem. He created a void of godliness in this world. Is there anything that we can do? It says Rabbeinu Yonah in source number 9, quoting here in the final shar of the Shari Tshuva, in Siman Dalet Hey. V'yesh avon asher tinakeh hanefesh mimenu, uvilti tahorehi ve'ena ritzuya. There's a certain avera that a soul is very much not able to cleanse itself from. And that soul becomes very undesirable in the eyes of God if you're guilty of this avera. Asher hamaves yafrid beina uveina guf, asher chatab. That it seems, paraphrasing, again in Rabbeinu Yonah's poetic fashion, but paraphrasing the Gemara, that if not for death, you can't separate from this avera. What avera is that? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's kemo sheyesh choli shlo yinake haguf mimenu kol hayamim. It's like a lingering illness, it's like a virus. That a person might have certain medicines where they're able to suppress some of the symptoms, but you can't really cure it. So what is the avera, so to speak, that corresponds to that lingering illness? Vahu avon chil Hashem. There's a certain illness that's so deep that it's almost impossible. You can try to find ways to work on it, but until a person dies, he's always going to be afflicted by this illness, the illness of chil Hashem. So is there nothing we can do? We're really stuck, Rabbeinu Yonah is not going to try to save us. Rabbeinu Yonah wrote the Shari Tshuva to save Jews, to help us do tshuva. So Baruch Hashem, he goes on in Osei, he continues in his words. V'gam l'chol yazeh, this illness that I just told you can't be healed from, there really are ways to heal yourself. Afal pi she'ein lo marpe al derech shar avonos, even though you can't heal yourself in the typical fashion, yimotzei lo marpe, there is a way to find the medicine, so to speak. For example, number one, what can you do to heal yourself? Words bolded. Im yazreu Hashem yisbarach, lekadish taraso neged bnei adam, ulodil bnei adam gvuras Hashem, ukvod hadar malchuso, visar avono barov godol kishron hamaisa. If I could basically do the opposite, v'gamezelu mazeh osa elokim, Kohelet says, that there's always a positive against every negative in the world, Kohelet perek zayin, pasuk yudalit. So that means if I created a void of godliness in the world, maybe the best way to fix it, the most obvious way to fix it, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is to try to inject into the world an appreciation of God. To let the world know about the Gvuras Hashem, Ukvod Hadar Malchuso. That the world should be able, says Rabbeinu Yonah, Shu behefech min ha-maisa asher noal v'asher chatabo, to do the opposite of what the chait was. The chait was that you caused people to lose faith in God, and to not believe in God's presence in this world, so now go do the opposite. The same way that a doctor might say to a person who's suffering from a particular illness, that the only way to heal yourself is to go to the opposite extreme. So if you have the illness of Chilul Hashem, you need to find a way to go to the opposite extreme. Rabbeinu Yonah concludes the paragraph by quoting the Gemara Bava Basra Daf Dalet. When Hordas was responsible for killing many Chachamim, and he felt very bad about it, and he came to Bava Ben Buta and he said, what can I do to possibly rectify the sin? Bava Ben Buta said, you extinguish the light of the world by killing these Chachamim, so you need to rekindle the world. Go build the Beis HaMikdash. Essentially what he was saying is that the way to be Metakin is to go recognize what you did wrong and find a way to in some way replace it to achieve the same effect in a positive fashion in the other direction. So therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, the first bit of advice for a person who is guilty of Chilul Hashem, other than waiting for death, God forbid, to cleanse us of the sin, is to go to the other extreme. Is to get involved in creative ways of being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Doing things to get people to look at you. Right? To force people to look at you. Because again, whatever their perception is, that is going to be the definition of a Chilul Hashem or a Kiddush Hashem. On that Mishnah that we quoted earlier, that Echad Shogeg Vechad Mezid B'Chilul Hashem, writes Rav Chaim V'Lajner in the 10th source, Al Derech Shekosev B'Zohar HaKadosh, like the Zohar explained, the concept of Chilul means what? Michalalel Lashon Chilul. Ki Melocho La'aretz Kvodo. The world is supposed to be filled with the Kavod of Hashem. That's what the Pasuk in Yeshaya told us. Uvemakum Shenasa Aveira, Misalik Hu Yisbarach Shemo, Kiviyachol Shechinaso, V'Nasa Chalal. When you do an Aveira, you make a Chilul Hashem. A Chalal means a void, an empty space. Anytime a Jew does something, and that action is void, is devoid of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence, that's a Chilul Hashem. And therefore a person has to be creative in making a Kiddush Hashem. I want to tell you an amazing story that I heard from a friend of mine. I called him today to chazer over the details. I had put in my notes on Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, if I ever give a shiur on Chilul Hashem or Kiddush Hashem, call this person up and ask him for the story about the gasoline. I had no idea what that meant. So I called him up today, and I got him on the phone, and I said, I'm giving a shiur about Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, and I know you have a great story about your grandfather and gasoline or something. I don't even know what I'm asking him. He said, oh, I'll tell you the story. Listen to this story. He said his grandmother was in and out of the hospital. She wasn't well for a period of time. And then, Baruch Hashem, she started to have refuah, and she left the hospital. She came home for Shavuos. It was a tremendous excitement in the family. She was finally home. And over Shavuos, unfortunately, she had a terrible stroke. And on Yantar, she went back to the hospital. And it was a very dire situation. She was in a coma, and her son would come every day over the course of the next number of days. Every day would come to be with his mother, who was not conscious. And he was davening, he was hoping, you know, they had already seen that she had turned it around once, and we were hoping maybe they could turn it around, something could happen. And he's davening, he's trying to really pour out his heart to Hashem. At least, Hashem, I want to be able to at least have one more conversation with my mother. And she's lying there, and she's hooked up to machines. And then he learned one morning, after davening, my friend wasn't sure, he thought maybe it was a piece from Rav Dessler, where he was describing that one of the ways to have your tefillos answered is to make a Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem creates a certain opening for a tefillah to be answered. And he says, here I am, I'm davening every day, trying so desperately, I'm trying to shake the heavens that my mother should have a refuah. Maybe Kiddush Hashem is my ticket. So he decides, I'm going to be on the lookout for a Kiddush Hashem. That night he was driving back from the hospital, and it was a pouring night, and he sees there's a car stopped on the side of the road. And he sees it's dark, he can't see who it is. He decides, you know what, I'm going to see what this person needs. He was a firm person, he was identifiably firm. I'm going to pull over. He pulls over. He sees this young couple, non-Jewish couple, sitting in the car, and he says, you know, is everything okay? They're very surprised, this stranger in the rain coming over to them. And they say, we ran out of gas. So he says to the guy, he says, listen, hop in my car. I'll take you to a gas station. We'll get one of those red containers to fill up with gas, and I'll drive you back. And the guy said, wow, like, you would do that for me? And the girlfriend's very nervous. She says, this guy's a stranger. He might be a murderer. You can't go with him. So he says, listen, I'm happy to take you if you want. And the guy says, no, you know, she's not comfortable with it. It's fine. We'll figure something else out. Okay, he gets back in his car and he drives away. He's driving away. And as he's driving away, he's thinking to himself, you know what? I made an effort, but you know what? Maybe I could do a little something more. I'm going to go get gas and I'll bring it back for them. Maybe they'll still be there. So he goes, he finds a gas station. He goes, he fills up one of those things, $15, $20 of gas. He goes back, he finds the car is still there. And he comes to me and says, listen, I brought you gas. And I don't want any money for it. Just enjoy. And they're like totally blown away by this. They can't understand what's going on here. He says, okay, you know, please enjoy. It's my treat. They're so wow. He goes back to the hospital. He goes back to the hospital. When he gets to the hospital, the nurse comes running over to him and says, I need to speak to you. Come immediately. Your mother just woke up from her coma. And he goes and he sits with his mother, and she's alert and she's responsive. And here he's thinking, I just read this morning in a sefer that a Kiddush Hashem creates an opening for a tefillah. He goes, he does this remarkable Kiddush Hashem, and then he comes back to the hospital and the nurse says, and your mother just came out of a coma. He had one final conversation with his mother, and then eventually she slipped back under, and eventually she passed away shortly after. But it was so clear to him that effort that he had made to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim was such a remarkable thing. Such a tremendous opportunity. He said there's nothing feels as good as a Kiddush Hashem. I have another friend who told me his father travels a lot on business. He said he was in Morgantown, West Virginia, in a Walmart. He's standing in line in this Walmart, and there's this woman online with a couple little children, clearly a person who's not particularly wealthy, and she's trying to pay for a few items. She's trying to buy a pair of shoes for her kids in addition to a bunch of other things. And she pulls out one credit card, and it's denied. She pulls out another credit card, it's denied. And they tell her, listen, she only has X amount of cash. They said, listen, you're going to have to put back the shoes. And these little kids, they're like standing there crying. And this woman's all embarrassed. This Jew is standing online in Morgantown, West Virginia, and he says, this is an amazing opportunity for Kiddush Hashem. He just all of a sudden, he decides, I'm standing, he says, Tashkocha, I happen to be standing here. I could have been on any other line. This poor woman, she's standing here. And he says, I'm going to buy the shoes. He says to this woman, it would be an honor and a privilege for me to buy these shoes for your children. And the woman starts crying. Who are you? Why would you do that for me? He says, it would be an honor and a privilege. If you'd be so kind as to give me the opportunity to buy these shoes for your children. And he said there was like a standing ovation at Walmart. Like everyone like started gathering around, like was cheering this guy on. And he says, I'm telling you, when I was standing in Walmart in Morgantown, West Virginia, he said, I felt the presence of the Shekhinah. I felt that I was bringing Hashem back into this world. There was a chill, there was a void. There was a potential for an emptiness of godliness, and it wasn't necessarily a negative situation, and yet he saw it as an opportunity to mekadesh Hashem Shemayim. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's one of the ways that a person can be metaking the avon of Chilul Hashem. But there's a second way. There's a second way that a person can be metaking the avon of Chilul Hashem without sitting around waiting for a person to give up their life at the end of 120. Rabbeinu Yonah in source number 11 tells us in the Shari Tshuva a few paragraphs later, there is another way to correct this terrible illness. That a person is not able to get kapara, even through Yisur, like the Gemara told us. There is a certain elevation, a certain refuah that can take place. I gave you the first trick. If you're Mekadesh Shem Shemai, you can be Taki in the Chil Shem Shemai. But there's a second one. O Timtzalo Kapara. If a person commits himself to studying Torah very diligently, Torah can always fix anything. Talmud Torah has the ability to fix anything. And he quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that the Gemara says about the children of Eli, Im yiskaper avon beis Eli bezevach u'mincha. They could bring all the karbanos in the world, and their terrible chil Hashem won't be undone. Says the Gemara, bezevach u'mincha. They can't get kapara by offering a karban. But they can get kapara through divrei Torah. Because divrei Torah has the ability to heal everything. As Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the final line where it's bolded, even the most broken illnesses, the greatest sickness, Torah is the ultimate refuah. Al-Kain Kosov, therefore the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Marpe Lashon Eitzchai. That the healing of the tongue, the healing of everything, takes place through what? Through the Eitz Chaim, through our attachment to Torah. When a person studies Torah, it has the ability to fix everything. Why is that so? Why is Talmud Torah, right, this secret weapon, so to speak, of Klal Yisrael? For anything, even the things the Gemara says that can't really be fixed. If a person commits himself diligently to the study of Torah, it is the ultimate refuah. Why is that so? Why is that so? So I think you could suggest, based on a comment from the Talmud Muvak of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, Rabbi Yitzchak Petterberger, in his Koch Ve'or, in source number 12, he describes Chil Hashem again in very strong terms. If we're willing to use such a phrase about Chil Hashem, that it's the biggest of Averos, he's willing to go so far as to say, even though the Gemara says that Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, and Lashon Hara Keneged Kulam in the negative, he's willing to put Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem in that same category. That Chil Hashem is as big an Aveira as it possibly gets, and Kiddush Hashem is as big of a mitzvah as you possibly get. So again, working with that equation, if Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, if Talmud Torah is also something that we always say is in the biggest category, that category of things that are the biggest, right? So therefore, for Chil Hashem, which is the biggest Aveira, you can certainly use the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, the biggest mitzvah, as a means to fix. It seems that one could make such a case. But I want to say, and I'll conclude just more simply, with a comment from Rosham Shadron. Rosham Shadron in the Kol Dodi Dofik, in the final source, says we just have to understand for a second what happens when a Jew learns Torah. We can understand why Talmud Torah has the ability to erase Chil Hashem. He quotes a Maimer Chazal, Isa B'Chazal, in source 13, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im atem oskim b'Torah, mala ani aleichem, ki ilu lo chatatem yamechem. If a Jew studies Torah, Hashem says, I'll consider it as if you never sinned in your life. What's the pshat? How does that work? Umahu perish advar. Says Rav Shalom Shodron, how does that work? Hinei kosav aram b'milchus tshuva, midarchei tshuva lios hashav, tzoik tamid lifnei Hashem. A person who wants to do tshuva has to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chulu, etc. Umishane shemo, and change his name. What does that mean to change his name? Does it mean to literally change his name? To take a new name for himself? The Rambam didn't understand it that way. The Rambam understood Mishana Shemo, Klomar, Ani Acher, Ve'eni Oso Isha Osa Osan Hamasa. Change his name, according to the Rambam, means change his reputation. To become an entirely different person, that I am no longer the individual who committed the following crimes. And therefore, Mavur Bezeh, Shelo Sagi Lishnos Es Hamaisa Bovad, says Rav Shalom Shodron, if a Jew wants to do true tshuva, it's not just enough to focus on the details of what went wrong and to try to change them. The purpose of tshuva is to transform the person, the entirety of the individual, to become a different type of person. Hinei Amar B'Gemara, the Gemara Kedushin tells us, Amar Lema Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Bini, or Banai, Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Lo Torah Tavu. I created a Yitzhara. I created Torah as the spice, as the antidote. What happens when you put a spice? What happens when you put a spice into the dish? It can transform it into a totally different dish. It was entirely bland. Now it's a delicious dish. It's a different tzura. It's a different quality of a dish. The same way that the flavoring in the dish can transform it into a very different type of food that before it was hardly something that attracted you, and now it's a delicious meal. Kacha Torah hofechas es kol tivei ha'adam u'mamtekes osam. So too, when a Jew studies Torah, it transforms the individual. It sweetens the person. It makes you into a different human being. Nimsa concludes Rav Shalom Shadron. Sha'at Torah hofechas es ha'adam u'mishane es kol mahuso achiri niye l'ish acher mamish. When a person studies Torah, it makes you a different person. And that is a secret to beating the system. If Chilul Hashem can't be erased, it's only because Chilul Hashem is deeply attached to that individual. So much so that even if he caused it in the most indirect fashion, b'shogeg, he's held accountable. But if a person recreates himself, if a person redefines himself through Talmud Torah, says the Medrash, again, the Medrash that Rav Shalom Shodron quoted at the beginning, "Im atem oskim b'Torah, mala ani aleichem, ki'ilu lo chatasim yamechem." Because you are not that person. You're Mishana Shemo, you change your reputation entirely. So I'll just leave with a beautiful story from the first Alexander Rebbe. The first Alexander Rebbe, Rebbe Rabbi Yechiel Danziger of Alexander, when he was a little boy, he was learning in Cheder. And his Rebbe was teaching him various sections of Nach. And he learned about the story in Shmuel Aleph and Perek Dalet when the Aron was captured by the Plishtim. And he comes home, little Yechiel, right, would go on to become the first Alexander Rebbe, comes home and he's crying to his father. And he says, what we learned in Cheder today, it's so heartbreaking. He says, it was such a Chilul Hashem. He says, the Aron was captured by the Plishtim. What a disgrace. He said, I felt that emptiness that Hashem must have felt in that moment. And this little boy didn't know that eventually they were going to get the Aron back. So his father starts to appease him. He says, trust me, everything's going to be okay. No, but don't you understand? This is a Chilul Hashem. The Aron was taken captive. This is such a terrible disgrace. He thought this was like the end of the world. His father says, everything's going to be okay. Just trust me. Just wait till tomorrow. And his father calls up the rabbi and he says, listen. He said, if you know how upset my son was over the Chilul Hashem that you described, the capturing of the Aron, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Beis, he says, promise me that tomorrow, regardless of whatever else is on the curriculum, promise me tomorrow you're going to get to the coming chapters where the Aron is returned. And the beautiful fanfare with the Aron being returned and the Kiddush Hashem that was felt amongst Klal Yisrael when the Aron came back. So for all the Chilul Hashem that exists in the world, and sometimes we get so caught up in it. The same way this little boy, the Alexander Rebbe as a child, thought this was the end of the world, there's nothing I could do to fix. To just realize this advice of Rabbeinu Yonah. Certainly we could beat the system by transforming our entire world, by becoming a different Jew through the study of Torah. But more than that, the Zelu Mazzeh. To realize that if the Aron was once captured and it was a terrible Chilul Hashem, we shouldn't give up. That just go a little weiter, it's possible the next chapter is going to be a different chapter. That for all the times that the world looked at Klal Yisrael and laughed at us and said bad things about us, and poked, you know, fun at the insensitivities that sometimes we have. We can be attacking that through having greater sensitivities and being mekadesh shem shemayim and making sure that the Aron comes back to its place, as Klal Yisrael come back to their place through the process of tshuva. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should all be zocha to regain those sensitivities. And Mirtz Hashem, if we have those true sensitivities, then we'll be able to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created the whole world for His kavod, for His honor. And each of us will be able to do our part in placing that crown on the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in fulfillment of the pasuk that we all long for, V'haya Hashem l'melech, Bayom hu yeh Hashem achar u'shmo achar. Thank you very much, and I wish everyone a ksiva v'chsimatov.